Well, the title of our lesson tonight is Truly Forgive. For a number of weeks, we've been talking about walking in love. If you want to walk in victory in this life, you need to learn to praise God continually, seek God continually, and walk in love continually. And we've focused on praising God, we've focused on seeking God, and now we've transitioned to focusing on walking in love. As Christians, we are called to show the same love that God has shown us through Jesus. You don't have to turn there because we've looked at this verse quite a bit already. But at the Last Supper in John the 15th chapter, John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And see, Jesus, you remember, said he only did what he saw his Father do. So anything Jesus did was an expression of his Father. So the love Jesus loved with was the same kind of love God the Father loves with. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. We've made the point that the most distinguishing characteristic of a Christian is supposed to be our love for God and our love for each other. And last week, we introduced the fact that a primary characteristic of that love is forgiveness. We are called to forgive others as God has forgiven us. In the same way God has forgiven us, we're to forgive others. You can look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's reread this verse. And then we'll get into it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write these words, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." We're to forgive each other, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Now, we did a whole lesson on forgiveness last week, and as always, I'd like to repeat everything I said last week, because what we're going to say tonight is dependent on that, but as you know, we'd get nowhere. I already review a lot as it is. But I want to review a few key points from last week and then add to it. Now, I'll tell you up front, we aren't going to get everything said about forgiveness tonight that I wanted to say. I put as much in this lesson as I could, but I still got tons of notes. But you get a little break here. You know, these lessons have been kind of difficult, haven't they, on a lot of levels? You're going to get a little break because we're not here next week, and then Dennis will do some lessons, and then we'll pick it up again. Let me just define forgiveness for you. To forgive means to give up your right to get repayment for the wrongs done to you. That's a very basic definition. It means you give up your right to get repayment for the wrong done to you. We're not disputing that a wrong was done to you. We're not disputing that a debt is owed to you. Remember last week we talked about how when Jesus talked about forgiveness, one of the words he used is debt. We're not saying that wrong was not done to you, that you're not owed something, but you give up the right to get repayment for the wrong done to you. You don't make the person pay for the wrong they did to you. That's what forgiveness is. Now this, I didn't tell you this last week, but let me throw it in. There's two different Greek words that are translated forgive. And I'm not putting that in there just to tell you that I know Greek, because I don't know Greek. But when we look up the definitions, it expands our understanding of what the word forgive means. The first word means to send forth or away, to let go from oneself. See, that's what forgiveness is all about. It's about letting go, letting the wrong go. The other Greek word, it means to grant as a favor in kindness. You know, when you let somebody go, when you forgive the debt, you're letting them go. You're granting a favor as in kindness. Now, the root word for that second Greek word is actually the word charis, which you may be familiar with. It's the Greek word for grace. Forgiveness is a grace. It's a mercy. When you forgive somebody, you're actually showing them mercy. You're not giving them what they deserve, and you're granting as a favor, as a kindness, letting them go. Forgiveness is not a feeling. We've been emphasizing that all along, that the love we're to call the love that we're called to love others with is not a feeling. We're not talking about how you feel about people in these lessons. We're talking about how you treat people. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is an action you take based on a decision you make to let the wrong done to you go. Proverbs 19:11, I'm going to read it off your outline. We've looked at this verse a number of times in this series. It says, "It is prudent for a man to restrain his anger. It is his glory to overlook an offense." You may remember when we did those two lessons on not taking an offense, I said that overlooking an offense is a form of forgiveness. When you overlook an offense, be it minor or major, that is a form of forgiveness, and according to the Bible, it's a man's glory to overlook an offense. Look at Mark 11:25 for just a minute. Mark 11, we read this verse probably, I think, the first night we started talking about love. Mark 11 is the chapter where Jesus cursed the fig tree and it died. And when he explained to his disciples what happened there, he gave them a lesson on faith. He gave them a lesson on mountain-moving, fig tree-killing faith, a faith that is able to speak and see things change in the natural realm. All of us want to exercise mountain-moving, fig tree-killing faith. I do. I want to be able to speak to diseases and see them go in the name of Jesus. I want to be able to speak to storms and see them stop. And that's part of what we've been authorized to do. But mountain-moving, fig tree-killing faith doesn't seem to work too much for most of us. And I think one reason for it is found in verse 25. Verse 25, and when you, I didn't read the whole account of Jesus killing the fig tree and his explanation, just in the interest of time. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. When you pray this prayer of faith, when you exercise mountain-moving faith, Jesus said, if you got anything against anybody, forgive. Let me read that out of the Amplified. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it, let it go. I like that translation because that's forgiveness in a nutshell. You let it drop, you leave it, you let it go. Now, all of us, our flesh recoils at that, if you're honest. It recoils at that because our flesh does not want to drop it, leave it, or let it go. Our flesh, when we're wronged, by wronged I mean hurt or harmed in any way, our natural tendency in our flesh is to retaliate. By retaliate, I mean pay people back for the wrong they've done to us. Last week we talked about all the many ways you can pay people back. I mean ranging from punching somebody in the head to giving them the silent treatment, to damaging their reputation by telling other people ugly stuff about them. I mean, there's a million ways to pay people back, and it just comes naturally to us in our flesh. Now, like we've said, your spirit, your recreated human spirit is going, don't do that. Walk in love toward them. Let it go. But your flesh says, this guy's going to pay for what he did to me. But see, the problem with that is God specifically tells us not to return evil for evil. I mean, he specifically tells us not to retaliate. I'll read it off the outline. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 17, it says, never return injury for injury. That's the 20th century translation. You're not to return injury for injury. When somebody hurts you, if you hurt them back, would that qualify as returning injury for injury? Yeah, we're not supposed to return injury for injury. Well, if somebody hurts you and you turn around and hurt them back, you've just given an injury back to somebody. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, this is also the 20th century, it says, take care that none of you ever pays back wrong for wrong, wrong for wrong. Now, the problem with that is when I get hurt, when somebody does something to me, it's easy to justify paying them back. It's very easy to justify, you know, I believe the Bible, every word. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to obey God. But when I'm hurt, when somebody's hurt me, I don't see retaliation as wrong because they're guilty of what they've done. And they're just getting what they deserve. Isn't that right? I mean, if that, and that's true. I mean, if they have wronged you and you pay them back, they're getting what they deserve. Forget about God for a minute. Forget what God says. Just look at it totally, you know, from a legal standpoint. If they have hurt you and you pay them back, then it's simply you giving out justice. It's you giving them what they deserved. But there's a whole lot of problems with that. Besides the fact that God tells us not to do it. God says don't do it. So that ends the argument right there. But see, we don't see retaliation as wrong because they're guilty of hurting us and they do deserve punishment. But number one, Jesus said we're to treat people the way we want to be treated. We've hammered on that verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we posed the question last week, how do you want to be treated when you hurt somebody? Whether you do it on purpose or accidentally. If I hurt somebody, I don't want them to retaliate. I don't want them to pay me back. I want them to overlook it. I want them to accept my apology. I want them to forgive and forget. Well, Jesus said I'm supposed to treat other people the way I want to be treated. So I've just nailed myself right there. If I pay them back, well, I don't want to be paid back. So I've stepped outside of love through paying them back. Whether it be the silent treatment, whether it be damaging their reputation, whether it be puncturing their tires, whatever it is. I didn't put this in the outline because we talked about it last week, but let me just remind you, really, when you refuse to forgive somebody, you actually take God's place. Now, you don't see it that way in your mind, I understand, because your flesh is going, this is right, they deserve this, you're being light on them, give them more. Your recreated spirit's going, stop that. But you're actually taking the place of God, because the Bible's very clear that vengeance belongs to the Lord, and vengeance is repayment. It's just a fancy word for repayment. So you're actually putting yourself in the position of God. Now, you know, like we've said in all these lessons, don't make this about you. Because a lot of times statements like that, we go, oh, no, God's going to hit me with lightning bolts for that. Don't make it about you. Hear the words that we're saying here. I'm just trying to explain why unforgiveness is not a good thing. And why, let me say it this way. I'm trying to say this as many ways as possible to expose areas in all of us where we haven't forgiven people, but we don't even realize we haven't forgiven people because we feel so justified in the way we're treating people. I mean, it's unusual to meet a Christian who outright refuses to forgive in the kind of circles we run in. That's unusual to meet somebody who just says, I refuse to forgive them. What you run into is people who say, I've forgiven them, but then you can tell by their words and their actions toward that person, they've no more forgiven them than the man in the moon. But they're deceived because they think they have forgiven them. So I'm trying to say all this as many ways as I can to help expose in you and in me any areas where we're in unforgiveness, but our flesh has justified it so much, we don't realize we're in unforgiveness. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, we made this point last week. We have the mistaken idea that unforgiveness hurts the one